Well, thanks, Pat, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come speak at this symposium. I do a variety of things, and organic systems is a part of some of the work I've done, and I have to say it's some of the more interesting work that I've been involved with. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author here is John Halloran. He's one of the very He and I are two of the very few economists within ARS. There's actually six of us across the country. John's located in Maine. I'll just dive right into this. Kathleen already talked about some of the trends in general in terms of organic, how the market has expanded, the growth in the organics within U.S. And just a couple more figures. Organic food sales, in the most recent estimates I've seen, are about 3.5% of total U.S. Food sales, and that represents substantial growth over the last 20 years. And that growth rate has been at about 15 to 20% per year since the early 90s or mid-90s. So to meet those demands, we've seen expansion in organic acreage as well. Get the mouse to work here. The corn acreage, you can see a steady increase over time. Wheat acreage, you can see steady increases. Oats, barley. Soybeans are a major crop in terms of organic production, but after the initial growth, the acreage of organic soybeans has been fairly level over the past several years. And I should start out, I guess, by I'm being pretty broad in what I'm considering grains in this talk, and I'm including soybeans, I'm including the oil seeds and other beans and pulse crops as well. But no peanuts, yeah. I'll quickly move through some of these price premium slides. I've got several of them here, but I want to look at some of the different crops. Here's historically the price premiums that we've seen for organic corn. There's a couple of different data sets I've combined here, so that's why there's kind of a break there in the middle. But I guess the thing to notice is that we've had some fairly persistent premiums since the mid-90s. They varied quite a bit, lots of up and downs there. And there's been some work done. You know, initially people thought, well, the premium was going to be pretty stable, and it's going to be, well, the rule of thumb always used was, for corn, for example, was two times the conventional price. That hasn't necessarily held. There's been quite a bit of variability over time. And in part, that's because the industry, the organic industry, has the growth we've seen, that demand has separated from the conventional demand. And so we're seeing some market drivers there that are independent of the conventional corn market. If we zoom in on more recent years here, you can see that recently we've seen some declines in the organic price premiums. And I think, I don't have a lot of data to back this up, but I think anecdotally that's related to a slowdown in organic dairy and the consumption of organic corn in the dairy industry with the recession. And so I would expect as the economy turns around that might pick up again. Soybeans, again, a very similar picture, fairly consistent that there are premiums out there, but the level of the premiums has tended to vary somewhat. It moves somewhat with the the conventional prices, and the organic prices do move together somewhat, but there are some independent drivers as well. Zooming in on the recent history, the organic price premiums, they peaked in 2008 and drifted back off, but they kind of settled back around where their long-term levels have been. So we haven't seen the big drop-off there that we've seen in the corn in recent years. Wheat, I should mention the corn and soybeans was upper Midwest data. The wheat information, we don't have very good national data set on this. So this data set's from Montana. So it's looking at conventional and organic prices just for the state of Montana and for hard red spring wheat. And again, we've seen fairly level premiums and then the spike in 2007 and 2008. And just checking with our Ag Marketing Service figures, it looks like we're back down around here in the most recent prices. So we're back to sort of that long-term level there in wheat prices. Now I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about, just kind of review some of the literature on what we know about the profitability of organic crop production in general. And start out with a couple of the early corn, Corn Belt studies back in the late 70s, early 80s. The first one was comparing some selected farms, 14 organic and 14 conventional crop livestock farms in Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri. This wasn't a random sample. It was willing participants on the organic side, and then they paired those up with neighboring conventional farms. And overall, I guess just summarizing, the crop net returns for the organic systems were comparable to the conventional systems. And part of what drove that, they did see some yield reductions in the organic systems, but the organic systems demonstrated lower operating costs than the conventional systems. Similarly, the Shearer et al. Paper, two different years, they did 23 farms in 1977, 19 in 1978. These were beef and hog farms, but also with crop production involved, so they were mixed crop livestock farms. The crop net returns for the organic system weren't significantly different from conventional, but were lower in 1978, and that was demonstrating some impacts of weather variability. And again, in that one, the crop or operating expenses were lower in the organic system, and so that was one thing working in favor of the organics. As we move ahead then, a summary of several studies that Welsh put together from the late 70s through the 90s. Six different studies they looked at without any organic price premiums. Three of those showed that organic systems were more profitable than the most common conventional systems. Three of them showed organic systems were less profitable than the most common conventional systems. However, what Welsh did was go back and add in the typical price premiums, and if those premiums had been included, all six of the organic systems would have been more profitable than the conventional system. And I should mention, you know, that's not the gold standard, I guess, in terms of organic production. Really what we want to look at is it high enough to sustain a family, but I'm using the conventional as just a convenient benchmark in these comparisons here. Some of the reasons that the organic systems that were more profitable, some of the reasons that they were able to be more profitable were, again, the lower production crops, costs, growing organic crops in rotation that were actually more profitable than some of the traditional crops and used in the conventional systems, and that there was some evidence of some organic systems outperforming conventional systems in drier areas or in drier periods of time. And so there was some resiliency in the organic production systems. In all of this, I'm just barely scratching the surface in terms of the number of studies out there. If you went to the symposium on Monday morning, Carolyn Dimitri mentioned she's done a thorough literature review and mentioned 177 different studies on profitability of organic systems. So you can see I'm just scratching the surface here. But just mentioning four recent field plot studies. One showed economic returns for organic systems that were comparable with returns from conventional corn and soybean system, and that's one that Kathleen mentioned earlier. Three others showed that at least some organic premium was needed for the organic systems to be comparable or to exceed the net returns from conventional systems. And that was one I was involved with in Minnesota, looking at the transition from conventional systems. From Beltsville, the Cavagelli study on their long-term study systems in the Mid-Atlantic. And also one of the studies, a companion study to what had been done, reviewed in Minnesota earlier, it was a long-term cropping system trial. And earlier results had showed that the premiums were not necessary for organic systems to be more profitable, but the more recent information shows that, those premiums may be necessary. The interesting thing there is that the organic systems turned out to be less risky as well as more profitable. Now, a lot of the work in the past has been case studies and some plot work. As the organic production and number of farmers has grown, we're actually getting more information at the farm level. And so I'm going to briefly talk about this is some data from Minnesota, the Farm Business Management Record Keeping Program. They've is a program that, conventional farmers have been involved with over time, and they've specifically looked at getting organic farmers involved in this program and separating out the organic farm business management records so that the organic farmers have something that they can benchmark their own operations against. But that also allows us to look at some comparisons as well. They started this in 2006, where they started collecting the organic data. And I'm looking at the farms that were classified as primarily crop farms. So they might produce it, livestock as well, but their primary occupation was with the crop production. These are completely organic farms, so this is all their acreage is organic production. The other thing to notice is, you know, this sample is only 10 to 15 farms, where all the crop farms were over 1,000 farms. We've got a pretty small sample size, so this is not a good statistical representation here. If we look at net farm income, we can see the organic farms did all right in 2007 and 2008. On a whole farm basis, it was slightly less than the all farms, but we really had some disasters in 2006 and 2009. Just overall, the income was low, and it was low relative to the conventional farms. And, you know, net farm income may not be the best measure here, you know, because of differences in farm size. You can see the conventional farms tended to have more crop acres than the organic farms. So another measure might be rate of return on assets that would sort of adjust for that difference in prices. But again, you know, the organics did very well in 2007. 2008 was very comparable to the conventional systems, but 2006 and 2009 were really poor. So focusing in on individual crops, I wanted to see why that might have been the case. You know, looking at corn production, the net returns for organic corn were much higher than the conventional systems in all of those years, including 2006 and 2009. Soybeans, 2006 was not real good, but 2009 was not all that bad, and 2008 was an excellent year for the organic producers. Spring wheat is a similar picture. We didn't have data in 2006, but so I guess what that tells me is, you know, these core crops did all right on the organic farms, but that would point me to say that it may have been some of the alternative crops and maybe the livestock segment of the operation. And so we need to think about the entire farm and how we pull those pieces together. I'm going to quickly move through this so I can get to some of the industry structure, but this is a profitability of organic soybean production. Nationwide survey, as we're getting this more information. The thing I guess to notice here is that there were no significant differences in operating costs, and so this is a difference between the earlier studies and the newer information, that the organic systems are not necessarily less costly than the conventional systems, and so that raises some questions about what we need to do with the organic industry. I'm going to move ahead to some trends here. Yeah, thanks. Again, the trends: retail sales of organic foods grew from $3.6 billion to $21 billion. Although the U.S. organic farmland has been increasing, there still have been some periodic shortages of some organic products, and particularly feed grains for organic dairy and meat production. Organic food is now available in 82% of retail food stores, so the market, you can see, has greatly expanded. And with the economic downturn, we didn't necessarily see people moving away from organic, but we did see some evidence that people began substituting private label organic products for branded organic products. And what that may mean is weakening some of these price premiums. There's some overview of where handlers buy their products. You can see some of it's national, some of it's regional, some is local, and we've been seeing this growing international segment as well. So we're seeing some pressure on it from imports. This to me was really an interesting figure put together by Phil Howard at Michigan State, but on the organization of the organic food industry and how these large companies have all these organic labels under them and how they've consolidated. And so that consolidation's a big trend. And the use of contracting is higher in organic than in conventional systems. Spot market is pretty small in the organic world. We are, however, still seeing some strong use of cooperatives within the organics, and I've mentioned some here. Forget the number of members. I think we've got, I think the crop cooperative has something like 1,300 producer. Is it 1,600 now? So it's a very strong organization. So just to summarize, I guess, in terms of the future, what I see some trends anyway. I expect that we'll see this continued consolidation, and that imports are likely to put some downward pressure on the prices producers have received. But the increasing demand can relieve these pressures, and it has over time, and that demand has actually outstripped the supply up till now, and the question is how long that'll continue. Another question is, that the success of these cooperatives or alternative market structures and how that will shape the industry in the future. I see a continued need to improve organic production, to reduce the cost, to increase the yields. I think Kathleen's been able to demonstrate that in her research and how we get that to the farm level. And a caveat here is we need to be able to do that without decreasing the provision of ecosystem services, because that's a big driver in the organic systems. And maybe we need markets or policies for provision of these services, or maybe the premiums are acting as that market. With that, I would be happy to take a question.
Do you have time for a question?
Yeah. Well, we got, you had the pie chart with imports. Mm-hmm. How are those being tracked? Because Lord knows I've been trying to track imports.
I don't know specifically. That's information that ERS is collecting, and I guess I'm not entirely clear how they're collecting that. Yeah. I think it's actually a survey of organic handlers and where they source their materials.
Maybe out of Hartman or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a question. You mentioned that there seemed to be a delinkage in the market prices between conventional and organic. Since the price spike on the conventional market side, we've seen an increase in the amplitude and of those price changes. Is that also occurring in organic, or the price is more stable?
Well, it did with that that price spike that occurred in the conventional. We saw a similar spike in the organics, and one of the things that delinkage means that I didn't mention is that creates some challenges for organic producers in managing risk, because they can't they can't hedge on conventional futures markets because they don't follow each other. And so they need some alternative mechanism to manage risks. Yes. Right. Yeah, I didn't specifically look at discuss crop insurance, but that's another issue. And related to that linkage is it's creating challenges for risk management agency in setting appropriate price premiums for crop insurance and offering it. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to cut it off here. Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Cost
insurance. They pay 5%
more and they receive conventional prices. Right. Yep.
Thank you, Dave. Okay. Harry, why don't you come on up? Harry will make a few closing comments, and then Alex Stone will give her a quick minute to talk about e-organic, and then we'll take a very quick break, and then we do need to have our business meeting begin on time. Please stay for that.
Thank you, Pat. This seminar came out of a brief discussion that Pat and I had last year of, wouldn't it be interesting to get all the people who are doing cropping or grain production research and activities in the U.S. to get together in one room and just sort of talk about what are you doing and how are you doing it. And so I think it was a very productive session today. We're going to make an effort to get a publication out of these presentations. I've been talking to the folks here at ASA about putting together a special publication, and the authors today have agreed to work together to move in this direction. If there are issues that you think need to be addressed within this publication, if you'd send me an email, and I'll poke the people to maybe try to address that as we go along. And I thank all of the speakers. It was an excellent symposium, and I appreciate all the audience coming for this. Thank you.